Look out! It's your weekly dose of wrestling news and silliness on the North America Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net. And as always, there is graphic language in this podcast.
For over 6 years, and nearly 300 episodes, the North American Wrestling Connection, the NAWC, wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net present the NAWC, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007, sanctioned by...
To which CM Punk had to celebrate with the dilemma of being surrounded by comic books or hockey players. Hold the cup high, Punk. You're in a good place. And so are we, here at the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman. I've brought in a handful of the usual suspects. I will start with my co-fizzleweight champion, VRM.
Yes. All because of the Blackhawks.
He Yes. Sorry, had to be done. Yes. I didn't get a chance to play that last week since I was not here.
The Rangers goal horn is better, Jim. But I digress. Finally, I can actually talk about something that doesn't involve something else that's going on in the Massachusetts area.
Yes, that's something that will be discussed on somebody else's show. I shall peek down into the deep south where the only ice would be in his drink. That would be Chris Waters.
Let's see. So with all the time I've been coming on the show recently, do I get the Fonz and Urkel treatment now?
No, unfortunately, you are gaining popularity, but you will not have the Wolverine publicity of my program.
Okay, just making sure.
And when we speak of the New England area, we're certainly not disparaging it because there are a few good souls up there, such as Forth.
Yes, and I will say I'm pretty sure Punk had a pretty exciting Monday. As soon as he got back to Gorilla, I'd have to imagine he must have yelled out, "What's the score?"
And he turns out he was dancing backstage. He had tweeted a couple of pictures, including the victory.
It's a mark-out moment! A mark-out, bro!
And was given the privilege of raising Lord Stanley's cup. And I still am waiting for my picture of the Blackhawks pouring Pepsi in it for him to drink. Punk, I am disappointed. But... So with that out of the way, I'm sure that had cheered him up immensely from the previous week when I understand that he had run into another client of my dear uncle's. And justifiably, Forth, Punk wanted answers.
Indeed. It was definitely a surprising moment because obviously many of Lesnar's returns have been kept under wraps, but this one, it genuinely was one of the most surprising ones to me.
Now, I unfortunately missed some of the... I missed the actual promo Monday night, Chris, but my Uncle Paul has a point. Some of Punk's words are probably what lit the fire under Brock Lesnar to come back.
Yeah, as soon as he said something last time about the fact that Punk didn't need Heyman's help like Lesnar would, I knew something was going to happen with that. But, no, wait, no, but I just forgot what I was going to say just then.
So, as we were joking just before the show started, VRM, this was a bromance of epic proportions.
Bromance puts it mildly.
To accentuate the drama, my dear Uncle Paul had to remind CM Punk that in 2005 and 2006, when he was still down in OVW as a developmental talent, there were people saying, get rid of this guy. He's not going to do anything in this business. What's a skinny kid with tattoos going to do for anyone?
Shall we cue up the picture of Hammerstein?
Yes. I know the picture. It's in the video package that they played on Main Event. Because when Uncle Paul reminded him, he thought of that. 2,500 people in Hammerstein Ballroom chanting for him. The sign in the balcony. I paid to see CM Punk. The reminders, his Money in the Bank victories, his World Heavyweight title victories, his WWE Championship reign. If my Uncle Paul had given up on him the way everyone else in developmental in 2005 and 2006 had, we would not have had much of this magic now, would we?
Probably wouldn't have had a lick of it.
We would have asked what Phil Brooks is doing in the Impact Zone.
So, Punk, thankfully, seems to have diffused the situation, and he did apologize. That final embrace, though, Forth, I don't think Punk is convinced yet.
Yeah, his face definitely told the story as soon as he just brought Paul in close. You could tell there was a bit of mistrust going through his mind.
I'm sure if you didn't know it was recording, you probably would have mouthed something.
He would have said, I am not impressed with the way Paulie lies. Although, if this does turn out to be a vendetta, it wouldn't be just mouths VRM, but it would be muted on live television.
All right, fuck you.
So, we're getting there. And actually, I realize that they're kind of fast-forwarding into Punk Lesnar. This was something that was being dallied about for SummerSlam. Maybe they will keep pushing it towards SummerSlam because the Money in the Bank card, oh my goodness. You know, somebody, you guys are going to laugh and say, you guys all know how high I bounced when I heard that Rob Van Dam was coming back to the Fed.
Oh. I saw that and I'm like, what?
Like, to be honest, when they played the video package, I thought it was just I thought it was an ad for a DVD. I thought they were, since Rob was out from his TNA contract, that they had talked to him and that my Uncle Paul had talked to somebody and that they were going to put together a DVD from, since Vince owns the ECW library, and they have plenty of footage from RVD's run from 2001 to 2007. And since Rob hasn't had a DVD since 2003, is that when One of a Kind came out?
Oops.
I know it was fairly early in his WWE run when One of a Kind was released. And I hear research, so.
February 1st, 2005.
Well, later than I thought. Okay. But the, you know, the putting together this, putting, you know, just that seems to be the sizzle to the steak that they're serving of this All-Stars Money in the Bank ladder match, the Raw ladder match. Chris, I thought they got rid of the brand split.
Well, it's not really. They're not really saying it's the Raw or SmackDown one anymore. They're just saying it's the World title and the WWE title. And going by who they have into the match, let me just make sure I'm right on this. Because I have the list
if you need it.
Well, I have that, but I'm looking up on my win-loss thing that I keep track of. I still have them listed under their brands.
Okay.
For who's who in there. And the board's going slow. Hang on. There we go. Yeah, so they do have a mix of people who are quote-unquote Raw and quote-unquote SmackDown on there. Like Sheamus and Randy Orton are both still listed under the SmackDown brand, but they're in this match.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really about brands anymore. It's just about which title they want you to go for.
So, yeah. RVD is part of this All-Stars Money in the Bank match that is including both members of Team Hell No, Punk, which means Punk Lesnar is not happening at Money in the Bank. I correct myself. The returning Christian. And Randy. Let's see. Yeah. Punk, Brian, Sheamus, Orton, Christian, Kane, Zenmeister. Shut up and take my money. Not to be outdone, SmackDown is putting together a Money in the Bank of fresh faces, and not in the face and heel definition of the word, guys who have never been champions vying for the briefcase. And that list includes Damian Sandow.
Silence.
No silence. I'm glad to see that they're putting him in such a high profile match. Okay, that was cheap. For some reason, Jack Swagger's in this match.
Boo!
Will his hand be healed up by the pay per view, or?
Yeah, he still needs to sit out the rest of his 60 for the.
Was he officially suspended, though?
That's true.
Because I know he was at about $1,500, which was the fine and the court costs and all that. He's got to take a couple of classes. And he's on probation for 6 months, and he can't drive for a year. Obvious joke is obvious. Now I know the other reason why they brought Rob back. Okay, that was also in poor taste.
Right now I'm seeing Swagger and Hogan becoming buddies because they're each giving each other a hand right now.
Oh, jeez. Okay, let me get back to this list. Sandow, Jack Swagger, Cody Rhodes, Antonio Cesaro, the soon-to-be-returning Fandango, Wade Barrett, and Dean Effin Ambrose. Thank you very much. So, once again, shut up, take my money. Because once I heard that name, yes, I was quite happy.
Money, 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 money.
Did I hear a can?
No. I would have played Mark out, but I just played that a few minutes ago. But
come on, Nikki, I stand like every 5 minutes on my show.
That's true. So yes, Dean Ambrose in a ladder match. You're breaking my heart.
A mark out, bro!
If they didn't have my money already. So VRM with these two just these two matches. We'll get to the rest of the card here in a second. Bye.
If I had control of the cable bill, yes.
Chris, seeking by any means necessary to see this carnage. You can be honest here. We're all friends.
Sorry, I was taking a sip right now. If I have the money for it, I'll be buying it online off of WWE.com as long as I don't work that night like I did with Payback.
Yeah, that's true. I did just upgrade my internet feed. I could get the internet feed.
Fourth. Bye.
Depending on the sound clip you have, either yes, 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 or C, C, C.
I'll split the difference.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Yes! I like.
So... you know, that alone is going to bring them a lot of buys. And having a couple of fresh matches like Ryback versus Chris Jericho, Mark Henry's amazing heel return and his attempt to take the title from John Cena, is the Usos and the Shield going to be part of the pay-per-view yet? Is that official, or am I just speculating?
I think it's just an opportunity right now. I don't think they've confirmed whether or not it'll be on the show.
Yeah, it's not listed on the site yet, but they've mentioned that in a couple of weeks they might, so they might add it on to there.
Okay. As long as they give both Money in the Bank matches adequate time.
Half hour minimum. Minimum.
And the fact that these are genuine Money in the Bank matches. The fact that there's seven guys in both matches that means it's essentially two men rooting, two men shooting, and two men taking pictures and three men taking pictures. You've got spots, setups, and rests beautifully built into this match. And that's why you have to have so many people in there. That's why the tag team TLC concept works so well.
And the question is, who's going to be the Shelton Benjamin of each match? That's what I'm wondering.
Well, the first one, the All Stars one's got to be Rob Van Dam. He's going to be the one taking the crazy.
He's going to do the sick and crazy spots. He's going to do a couple of crazy spots, and if he doesn't do them, Brian will do them.
And if not either of them, then there's also Christian in that match.
I think Christian's going to play it pretty safe just because he's just gotten back from injury. Although, if this is indeed one more match,
yeah,
this is the shadow of doubt that I have cast on the money on that particular match, because yes, it's in Philadelphia. Yes, it's in one of Rob's biggest fan base areas. If they could have this at Viking Hall, they would. And if they did, then there wouldn't be any doubt at all. But, and then with the SmackDown group, let's see, Crazy? Ambrose. Need I say more?
Nope.
He's the only one I see on this card actually taking any risk.
If he didn't have the concussion, I would have said Fandango might have, but...
Cesaro might pull something. I'm not sure.
I want to see Cesaro pull an uppercut with somebody jumping off the ladder.
And now that I'm looking at this, Sandow, heel. Swagger, heel. Cody, heel. Cesaro, heel. Fandango, heel, Barrett heel, Ambrose heel. Something's wrong with this picture.
I was going to say, I noticed that that one, they're all heels. I think the Raw match, are they all faces or at least tweeners? Or
well,
Punk
everyone
face, DB tweener, Daniel tweener, Sheamus face, Orton supposedly face, Christian returning face rule, RVD returning face rule, Kane borderline.
Damn.
Who wants in on the wild card that they're going to merge this match?
That'll be, if we get more than one, that's our 10-point bonus.
Who wants in on this wild card? Because that's genius.
Yeah.
Wait, you say merge the match into one match?
14 guys fighting over the briefcases. Can't you see this? Why would you have all faces and all heels in two separate matches?
It would be utter... Mayhem doesn't even begin to describe it. Chaos doesn't even begin to describe it.
Has the whole world gone crazy?
Yeah, that works.
Want. Need. WWE. Money. Ideas and take. Yeah. Oh my God. Ladies and gentlemen, let me state for the record that I have been rendered absolutely speechless.
And now that we think about it, they are just about to release the War Games DVD.
I need to shake somebody's hand. I need to shake somebody in creative's hand. That's awesome! If that's what happens. That sounds too awesome to happen, but why would you have a match of all faces and a match of all heels?
Because in Philly, they're gonna cheer at some of the heels anyway, so...
Admit it. They could probably get away with it in Philadelphia, because this is another Smart Central Station. Oh, boy. Okay. I do apologize. Thank you for reminding me. I was not here last week just because we did have a huge issue with the Lesnar-Punk situation. Uncle Paul and I discussed it at length, and he said he could smooth it all over. I'm not convinced either. So I will probably be, by the time this airs, I will be on the road. Hopefully catching up with my dear Uncle Paul. I'm not sure if he was doing the Bismarck Sioux Falls run or the Cedar Rapids Rochester run. So I picked Cedar Rapids Rochester and I'm crossing my fingers. We'll see. Let's see. Speaking of pay-per-views, Extreme Rules, early returns on the buys for that. VRM, they might have hit 250.
Really?
The range is 235 to 250 for this for that pay-per-view.
What were the 2012 numbers?
Statistician who might be able to help me with that, because I'm sure Jason is pretty fast on a keyboard, and no, I can't stretch much more than that. I'm not as good at it as Jim Williams is. But I know Jim could help me with it.
Pony.
Tell me you did not just play that.
Oh, you're right. I should have played this.
Ponies.
Let's see. According to company estimate, this was May 28th, 2012. According to company estimates, Extreme Rules 2012 saw 251,000 buys worldwide last month. Last year's event drew 216,000 buys worldwide.
Okay, it went up, which is promising. Which is always promising. And
it 251, and if it did 251 and it dropped to 250, that's down.
No. Well, But see, the problem is the numbers I have, I don't know if it's domestic and international or just domestic. So, okay. 251 in 2012, 250 in 2013. Sorry. Thank you, Jason.
So if, even if the high end, it's marginal.
If it's marginal, and that's still good. It's not a disastrous drop, and it still has two more zeros on the end of it than a TNA pay-per-view.
only two more?
Yes, because the problem is that TNA can pull up that same number, but they have a decimal point in there somewhere. So, let's see that out of the way. I did listen to last week's show, but unfortunately right now I don't remember if they had discussed these cutesy little 1-800 fella commercials. The first one, the Heimlich Brogue, I didn't think worked. But kicking the tree to save Kitty, that one was much, much better executed. Fourth.
Didn't he go kick a tree near your house, Nikki?
That wasn't my cat.
No, not the cat, but the tree.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. He rehearsed over here, and I'm still waiting for them to get that tree picked up. He completely uprooted it. I'm still trying to find out if that was the tree that hit the power lines. But I kind of like the concept. You know, they're trying. And the Mae Youngish little old lady, I think what would have made a better VRM is if she actually was able to run a little bit more to keep Sheamus moving.
You just know if Mae was a little bit more mentally able, it would have been her in that commercial.
No, this was fine. Random old lady is random, and the message still came across. Note from the chat room: Sheamus should compensate you if that tree is the one that got the power lines. I'm still looking into that. The energy company up here won't talk to me. They kept giving me the robo message that I wasn't supposed to have power until Wednesday, which I expressed my displeasure. So they trolled me and put my power on at precisely 9:30 p.m. Monday night. Just in time for me to hear about the Money in the Bank matches. Anyway.
So perfect timing.
Yes, but there was a couple of things I missed. I didn't actually get to see the original promo with CM Punk and my dear Uncle Paul. I also didn't get to see, my God, we have storylines in the Divas division. Or at least just AJ and Caitlyn butting heads and taking turns impersonating each other. So, while Jim Williams is floating away at the mere thought of either dressed as each other, Chris, have you seen both?
Yes, I have, actually.
All right, let me hear your thoughts on these.
Well, it's kind of weird that that they were starting to do the picking on Caitlyn's body type thing. I've got nasty thoughts about the, like they mentioned in the chat room, the whole Piggy James thing. But this time around, at least Caitlyn actually got to get payback on AJ's promiscuity. Is that a word? That was now I said it. So it was kind of neat to see them actually have them both try to one-up each other on that. And I think, personally, I think Caitlyn pulled off AJ better than AJ pulled off Caitlyn. That's just my personal opinion.
Fourth, did you see? Have you seen both of these?
I have, and I definitely think that Caitlyn's was done a lot better, because with AJ, it just felt like everything was a little too obvious in a way. With Caitlyn, there was enough time that had passed since her Gawker nomination for it to kind of be funny. Plus, I noticed she kind of looked a little bit like Trish Stratus in the getup.
I can see that. VRM, did you see both of them?
I've only seen the first one. I only saw AJ impersonating Caitlyn.
Okay.
And the only thing I can think of, why is this a segment I have to come back to from intermission?
I only got to see the recap of AJ doing Caitlyn, and I think what made it suffer, guys, is the fact that AJ didn't have a whole lot of material to go with. Caitlyn had a friggin' phone book. And the fact that they actually turned it into a rib on Mark Eaton, Doc Sampson, and Lillian Garcia. Jason's raging somewhere. it was beautiful. I was thoroughly amused. SmackDown did have one other thing, though, and I'm going to do this anyway. Jim, do you have a minute to open your mic?
Accounted for, yes.
I need your opinion on the opening match of SmackDown this week.
Okay, lay it out for me.
Is this offensive?
Okay.
Damian Sandow versus Sheamus in a Dublin street fight. Which included bar taps, one thrown keg, kendo sticks and bar stools painted green, and a sack of potatoes.
Well, first of all, they should be arrested for wasting a keg of beer.
Yeah, fella. I'm a little upset that there's no, that at the end of the match, the two didn't hold hands and go, "Oh, Danny boy, the pipes are calling." But, they got every freaking stereotype otherwise just about in, yeah.
All it was missing was using Hornswoggle as a weapon.
Thank you.
Finley
yes.
was mentioned.
No shillelaghs?
Surprisingly, no.
No. Well,
no shillelaghs, but yeah. Yes, and no whiskey, just beer.
Well, of course, because whiskey is not PG-13. Yeah. Beer is, apparently. I don't get that.
The potato thing's kind of funny for a couple of reasons.
First of all, Idaho.
No.
Oh, sorry.
No, you're fine. First of all, yes, that is kind of offensive. But I think Sheamus didn't care and was having way too much fun with it anyway.
Yeah, because potato famines are just plain fun.
Well, the fact that he hits Sandow with the sack, dumps all of the potatoes on him, picks one up, takes a great big bite out of it, and Carlito's Sandow.
Pretty much. to which Justin Henry completely nails it in the meme event. "A spurt in the face of people who don't want to be killed, fella." shout out to Justin on that. That's him, not me.
I was just thinking that too, and I didn't see it yet.
Win for Justin.
Justin, points to you, sir. You actually made me laugh.
Yes.
Okay.
I will share in the Skype chat the actual image, so.
Okay. And yes, points to Sheamus for actually willing to take a bite out of a raw potato. Blech.
Eyes and all.
So, to that, Jim, was that offensive?
I'm going to say no, believe it or not. I think it was just completely goofy. It was duphosity more than offensiveness. Now, if we had, like, red-headed stepchildren tied to the ring posts, if we had shamrocks and, you know, I'm trying to think. If we had, like, a big cathedral somewhere or some tombstones or something from an Irish cemetery, then you might be in the land of offensive. Now, if you really wanted to get offensive, you'd bring in Northern Ireland, because that's where the offensiveness starts.
Okay.
Because, you know, Northern Ireland and Ireland are, like, yeah.
I'm going to say, not quite related to it, but Cole had said, I guess he was trying to say that Seamus was from an area in the northern part of Ireland, but he made it sound like Seamus was from Northern Ireland, and I just thought to myself,
That's offensive.
Okay, that's offensive.
Yeah, that's offensive.
That's like saying to somebody who was in the Civil War, who's from the South, oh, so you support the Union. Sad to say. I mean, it's that there's that much hostility between the two countries.
Given that this was in South Carolina, I've got you reminded me of the promo that Sandow cut before this match.
Mm-hmm.
As he's walking to the ring, he announces that South Carolina was the first state to secede from the Union before the Civil War. I strongly recommend that you do so again.
Oh, man. But we wouldn't be able to capitalize on Myrtle Beach's great golfing if they seceded.
That's fine. It would make Steve Spurrier an illegal immigrant. I like that.
It all comes back. You love the old ball coach, Nikki. You know you do. No.
Yes, I love it when he's throwing his clipboard in his hat and cussing up a storm.
There you go.
Okay.
But ultimately, not offensive, just complete duphosity with stereotypes.
Yes. Now, since they couldn't stop there.
Oh, of course not.
Fiesta del Rio.
Si!
VRM, you said you IM'd me subtitles. My subtitles didn't come up.
Yeah. The way that he had said it, it seemed like he said he talked to the closed caption people and he was going to put everything in Spanish. And he was going to say everything in Spanish. So I figured it was going to be subtitles! Not once, even when I turned closed captioning on, did I get any goddamn subtitles.
What a heel.
Oh. Even
Why do I get the feeling he included that in the Spanish-speaking part of the promo?
My Spanish is a little rusty, but... It really wasn't hard to figure out what he was, you know, what he was talking about. He was just bragging about the fact that he had become champion again, and that
he was his party, and that we're a bunch of ignorant.
Well, see, it's times like this that we need Carlos Cabrera to translate for us.
Well, I honestly was hoping since SmackDown is live to tape.
Yes.
That somebody in the truck would have put subtitles up. In fact, they missed a perfect opportunity. They could have put up the subtitles, and in the truck, you see Seb Coulter yelling at someone for even letting Del Rio speak Spanish on TV.
Which goes against all heel logic, but oh well.
Or to build the feud up a little bit, have them cut to the back, and they say Ziggler in the truck, and he's messing up the subtitles to give them some... make him say some really stupid stuff right there.
Yeah, there you go. Where Ziggler's sitting there playing with the subtitle thing, where it comes up and where the one of the subtitles comes up, you know, I blow goats. I'll show you the pictures after during the commercial.
I blow goats. Is that the first thing you think about, Nikki? That's a little creepy.
You obviously are not a fan of Wayne's World. Anyway,
I am a fan of Wayne's World.
There's still real running arcade.
As Spinkter says, what?
See, this shit writes itself. It really does. They missed out on a golden opportunity. I would have had fun with it.
But creative doesn't pay, hence you're not in creative. There you go.
No, and That, sir, is why the checks bounce.
Mm.
Bouncy, like, bouncy, bouncy.
Likely story, Fred.
Speaking of bouncy, I'm going to go back and watch the Caitlyn segment on SmackDown. Thank you very much.
please be on your way, sir. I appreciate your time to check
now
in
give
on.
Give me your phone number when you're out this week. I'm sorry.
Dude.
Worth a show.
Therapy. Besides, I already know what Caitlyn would do if I offered her a telephone number.
What would she do? Sadly, that wouldn't be the worst thing a woman has done to me after giving a phone number. Anyway. All right, so, time's yours.
Yes, thank you. Jim Williams, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, what else can I get into or out of? Did I just close my... I lost my notes.
Uh-oh.
Shame on me. Shame on me. No, give me a moment. Give me a moment. I will...
No, well, while you look for the notes, I will say the only thing offensive to me about the Fiesta Del Rio was the fact that they didn't have Brock Lesnar in a sombrero dancing again.
I demanded Brock Lesnar or...
Or Punk dressed as one of the mariachi players.
Yes.
I was waiting... Ziggler was going to be one of the mariachis. Wouldn't we be coming up on the seven-year rule for that?
What was that for? That was,
That was for Chavo, so that was 2006, I believe?
Yeah.
I think it was 08.
2006, 2007, somewhere around there, so we're close.
So, yes, Ziggler... Unfortunately, Ziggler's a blonde, so it would have been hard for him to hide as a mariachi. Mm. But I think I made the joke on NAWC when this happened, when Punk did it, that we figured out that CM actually stood for that night. Clandestine mariachi. So, but no, Ziggler decided that he would just do it the way he would do it.
The old fashioned way.
Yeah. Show up, show off, kabong.
That wasn't a kabong.
No, that was not a kabong. But there's a reason for that, because unfortunately they've got a little problem with headshots, and even a gimmicked guitar is going to hurt. So, and that one didn't look very gimmicked. It looked pretty darn intact when he was out there playing with the mariachi band,
despite the fact that it was missing the backside.
I don't think Ziggler knows how to play a guitar anyway.
Speaking of people who don't know how to play a guitar.
Oh, no, he doesn't, but let's see what the GM's got to say. Somebody forgot to remind Randy and Daniel Bryan about the headshot stuff because they both got fined for pulling them at the street fight Monday night.
Yeah, I got bad memories of Royal Rumble 2001 when they pulled one spot in that match.
So, yeah. Let's see. Also, this week is a week of anniversaries, something you might want to research. We are coming up on the 11th anniversary of John Cena's debut in the WWE. Back when he actually had to wrestle, and he wrestled Kurt Angle. The 15th anniversary of King of the Ring 98 and that Hell in a Cell. The one that put Mick Foley on the map forever. No, I don't need the soundbite for that. And actually the 6th anniversary, not the 7th, of the loss of the Benoit family. A tragedy that, in some ways, is going to save lives, just like Eddie. We will have to talk more about such tragic things, but I promise there will be good news along with the bad news. Let me get some commercials together. Guys, the restrooms are unlocked and the vending machines are plugged in, so go ahead and let's take a time out here. We'll be back in a couple of minutes with more news.
Hey, How many websites do you use to get your fix of wrestling news? 3, 4, 5 or more? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. Brett Clint Daniel and his staff bring you up-to-the-minute wrestling news and views all day, every day. And WrestleChat.net is home to great podcasts like WrestleChat Radio, The Still Real to Us Show, and the North American Wrestling Connection. For the best in wrestling news and views, there's only one site to turn to. WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat. It's where it's at.
Hurricane Sandy left destruction and devastation across the Jersey Shore. Flooding and high winds left many residents without power, without a home, and without hope. With your help, that can all change. Operation Restore Our Shore, in cooperation with the American Red Cross, the Salvation Army, the United Way, and the State of New Jersey Department of Volunteerism, is committed to helping rebuild coastal communities impacted by Hurricane Sandy. To learn more about Operation Restore Our Shore, and to find out how you can help, visit facebook.com/Operation Restore Our Shore.
Maybe you're a 49ers fan in Jacksonville or a Jets fan in Houston, and you're looking to connect with fellow fans from hundreds or thousands of miles away. Look no further than FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net is a social networking site dedicated to fans of every team and every league. Connect with baseball, football, basketball, and hockey fans from throughout the country and throughout the world. Get the latest news, take polls, and interact in live chats on game day. And best of all, it's absolutely free to join. Sign up today at FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net, where sports meets social networking. CLW 83 Network programming is now available on demand through Stitcher Radio. Log on to Stitcher.com. Download and install the free Stitcher Radio app to your iPhone, iPad, or Android device, or log into the site via Facebook. Then search for CLW 83, and you'll be instantly connected to all of your favorite CLW 83 Network programs. The Stitcher Radio app at Stitcher.com, the newest way to tune in to the CLW 83 Network, online, on demand, and on the go.
And now, back to wrestling news and more silliness on the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net on CLWA3.com.
On the North American Wrestling Connection is sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Nikki Heyman here with VRM, Chris Waters, and Forth. Now, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, and I hated to send us into break on a down note, but I was given the information earlier day of broadcast that we have lost lost the original Doink, Matt Bourne, passed today at the age of 59, which I hate to, sounds young-ish, but I think he got a good life out of it. I unfortunately was not watching when the Doink character began, but if I understood correctly, he was supposed to be the psychotic clown.
Yes, I will say this. If you get the Raw seasons 1 and 2, it has a lot of the early, not a lot, but at least a good bit of the early stuff with him as the heel Doink. And he really made the most of the character, and he made it work in a way I don't think that any other Doink has done so in WWE.
And there's a lot of Doinks out there, VRM.
Well.
No comment, or did I just bend your brain?
No, epic brain fart.
Okay.
Sorry, not paying attention.
No, 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 you're fine. Let me... I was passed along a very interesting article, and I might have to ask for it again. Because there is an interesting ripple effect from the passing of Doink. There are no fewer than 24 other wrestlers across the country that are doing Doink knockoffs. Thank you, chat room. A couple of the other joints were interviewed for Kayfabe News, including Steve Gill, and Pete McGurk. And while they're all, you know, the running joke that everybody has been Doink at least once in the wrestling business. As a sign of respect, a lot of these doinks might hang up their makeup. Chris, what do you think of this?
I think it's really the right thing to do, just out of respect for him to do so. I wouldn't want WWE to bring anybody else in as Doink either right now or anytime soon, because it just seems wrong to me to have that character. Just have him remembered that, even if he wasn't, when I started watching, that he wasn't the Doink that was portrayed at the time.
Fourth, as a longtime viewer, you were... I'm sorry, Chris, did you...
I just want to also say that it's kind of sad that we lost another of the WrestleMania 1 participants, because he was actually at the first WrestleMania as Matt Bourne wrestling Ricky Steamboat, so that's kind of a sad note about it, too.
Fourth, as a longtime viewer, you've seen several other people portray Doinks, and I think one of the I've even seen Chris Jericho do Doink. Go ahead.
I was going to say, when did he do this? Because I might have to YouTube that later.
Around WrestleMania 17's build, the same night of the Nitro and Raw Co. thing, Regal was starting to quote-unquote wrestle Molly Holly in the ring. And Jericho was disguised as Doink in the crowd, and he ran out, beat up Regal, and put him in the Walls of Jericho, which Paul Heyman called the Walls of Doink.
I have appropriate soundage here. Give me a second.
Paul Heyman is an evil genius. He's Brainiac, he's the leader, he's Dr. Victor Von Doom all rolled into one.
It's true. And so, VRM, has your brain unclogged yet?
No.
Very well. We will take a moment in respect for Mr. Matt Bourne, not only as Doink, but all of his dramatis personae in the wrestling business. Gentlemen, if you are wearing a hat, please remove it. I have done so. Thank you. playing a couple of the Stryker sound bites. He had since I know that he had been recently released, and that makes me very sad. It sounds like that they finally found Alex Riley something to do and put him in Matt Stryker's seat. You got some big shoes to fill, kid. So let me see. Oh. Who all here watched Main Event this week?
Yo.
I figure you did, Chris. Fourth, did you watch Main Event this week?
I did this week, yeah.
Okay. VRM, were you able to see Main Event this week?
What channel is it on? Because I don't watch it.
ION.
I have it, but I did not watch it.
Okay. Usually, you know, this is where some of the good wrestling is, but this was, they decided they were going to do a Total Divas tie-in, which I thought was interesting to be put on what is basically a C-show. Cameron and Naomi had a guest with them, a gal named JoJo Offerman. Somebody decided to hand these ladies the mics, and they sang tons of funk to the ring on Main Event. I don't know, Fourth, shouldn't they have done that on Raw or SmackDown?
Yeah, I mean, I get the idea that they want to make it seem more like she was more than just her being someone they hired, but it does make it seem a lot more like they just hired her for the reality show when her debut, so to speak, is the C show.
Okay, VRM, since this was a shameless plug for Total Divas, how many cans do you want? One or a bunch?
I will take one.
So I will sum up VRM's opinion of this.
This is the kind of thing that would make me wish that there was a Game 7, because I would have an excuse.
Yeah. And Chris, I'm sorry, man. You know, I'm not a reality show person. Don't you think they should have done this on one of their bigger shows?
No, because then everybody would have heard the butchering of the Tons of Funk theme.
That's true. They were all singing the same song in different keys. And I think only Chris is going to get this. Cameron was probably singing it in G major.
Yeah.
Ooh, VRM got that. Cool.
Yeepy.
Okay. So, you know, kudos. Something different for the intro. Just something I think that if they really want to push this Total Divas crap, then they should have done it on one of their bigger shows. Because I already know that the chances of me actually sitting down and watching any of these episodes.
I'm thinking of a number between one and no.
I'm thinking of a number between one and lever.
Yeah, actually. Impromptu lever pulling. Total Divas. Does it get condemned?
I would say let's wait till the first episode and then.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say myself. Because I actually heard they did tape matches a few weeks ago for it. I don't know if they'll show them in full, but I know they taped some.
No, you're right. Wait and see and actually watch. I'm not going to watch it. I'll just wait for the crap reports, but I won't pull the lever yet because I am an advocate of wait and see.
And look what you got. What it got you with the one thing. Thank you for the wait, Chris.
Hey.
No. VRM, to be fair, I said I wasn't going to spend a dime. They got me the bootleg. I watched the entire thing. But I did have to stop it 7 or 8 times. Yes, there are things that can even traumatize a Heyman. But that's neither here nor there. I'm going to talk some good news. I want to talk good news. Because I want to forget. I want to forget that. And Chris, never mind. We have a date for the opening of the new Performance Center, the state-of-the-art facility that WWE is going to use to train their future generations of superstars. The open date they have offered us is July 11th. And from there, I would start ticking the countdown to the demise of TNA.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, VRM, I know we've been joking for the last 5 or 6 years that TNA was going to go under for one reason or another.
Yeah.
If you could get to, if you had across the street, say you're working for TNA, in between your other two jobs to make sure you're actually paying your bills. This, it is Florida, after all.
Yeah.
New place opens across the street with your expertise. You have a chance of actually getting a contract and actually getting money. And when you're in developmental, you'll end up on NXT, which means you actually get, it's not really television exposure, but you get television training.
I'll take the money.
Who wouldn't?
So, TNA is in the old Nickelodeon studios. Where is, I'm going to jokingly call it the NXT zone.
I know that they were, I don't believe it's actually on the Full Sail campus.
That's just where they're currently taping. And I thought this thing was going to be in Orlando because...
No, it is. I'm just trying to remember what part. Because there's several different parts to Orlando. Because, yes, I lived in Orlando proper, but I worked at a store that had one location in Castleberry, which is the northeast side. And their sister store where I got stuck in tourist hell. I mean, International Drive. Oh, okay. The new facility is set up in Winter Park, which is a pretty nice area, and not terribly probably a 25-minute drive if you don't count the ridiculous traffic from the impact zone. And so to that, I segue because I am contractually required to say something about TNA on my program.
This week, renegotiate.
I'm going to look into that, but this week I don't mind as much. Tweets were posted early in the week that were subsequently taken down by the Taz. There you go. You're welcome, Jim Williams. That he made a comment along the lines of, hey, some boys I know are going to be in my neck of the woods. And mentioned the Barclays Center. So, hey, VRM, can we get Taz? You want Taz back on the table? If he doesn't act like a goofy bastard like he's been in TNA?
Problem is that what do we do with JBL then?
Put him on the other side and make sure Cole gets his ass kicked.
Very true.
Fourth. Yes. If Taz was to go back to WWE, do you think that commentary commentary or interviewer would be a role that Taz would be interested in. Is there something else he could do? Because he can't wrestle.
I was going to say, it would depend on how... I was going to say I could see him involved in maybe NXT as a trainer, but I don't know if they're going to want him in commentary because I think they like how they have it set up.
No, the arrangement's very good, especially when when we get into these little giggle fits with Cole and Lawler and JBL. I swear they lose the show as many times as we seem to lose this one. I like that. I have not had to mute a show in a long time. So JBL's worked yet another miracle.
Plus, one thing, I don't mean to bring up the Lawler stuff, but I think that after WWE saw how Cole could function as himself, maybe they decided to give the commentary team a little more freedom to kind of be themselves or to kind of to basically be as they are right now.
Well, if Triple H has a hand in this, I'm sure he's not screaming into their headsets what to say. I'm sure he would rather have a better flow at the table. And with that distraction taken out, they can actually pay attention to the match. Call moves. Shill the app. Anyway. So.
Yeah, for Taz, though, if he came back, the only thing I could really see him, if he wanted to do commentary, maybe just ease him back into it. Just have them take Miz off the table on a main event and put him on there.
I'd accept that. And Taz and Josh on SmackDown. That would be nice. Because Cole's on both shows, and while I've backed off from picking on him, not counting 5 minutes ago, let's rest him. Let's rest him a little bit. Josh needs to step up. Obligatory Jim Williams demanding Scott Stanford here. You're welcome. I can no longer vouch for Matt Stryker because at least he landed on his feet.
Bring back Todd Pettengill.
let's see. Now that's something else that Taz could do. He could manage. I don't know who he'd manage, but he could manage. Just a thought.
Well, why not? They brought Zeb out of nowhere. Why not bring Taz as a manager?
Somebody had to tell me that was Dutch.
Yeah.
Somebody had to actually tell me that was Dutch because I didn't think he'd put on that much weight. Anyway. Let's see. Rare that we talk independent news. Actually, I've got one thing outside of wrestling, tied to wrestling, that I want to talk about before I get to the independent thing. We have been singing the praises of Diamond Dallas Page and the miracles that he is trying to work on Jake Roberts and Scott Hall. Jake slipped. Jake admitted to Paige that he had gone and had a couple of drinks with some friends. So DDP has taken an opportunity of it and has created a couple of accountability videos. Do I have someone at the table who has seen either of these videos? Because unfortunately, I have not. I have not had the time. Anyone?
I have not.
Okay.
Not yet, myself.
Okay. It's my understanding that DDP is essentially using this to wag a finger at Jake and try to get him back on the straight and narrow, because it is that it those of addictive personalities and guys who have been on that road for so long, it's hard to get off. It really is. Addiction is not a disease, but it is something that is something that you still have to that still has to be fought. So, fingers crossed for you, Jake. You know, just keep at it. Paige will not diamond cutter you. He knows better. Let's see. I have not been following Ring of Honor. I don't think we have too many people following.
Before you go there, Nikki, Jim wanted to chime in on something.
Oh, I'm sorry. Jim, open your mic, please.
Yeah, thank you. I got to watch, I didn't see the second video, but I saw the first video involving Jake and the sort of admission of guilt with the interns. It's what it comes down to is this, and I'm reminded of late great broadcaster Pat Summerall. When you admit that you have the problem, and you have the drug problem that Jake has had for God knows how many decades, you're never, you know, completely clean of it and stripped of it. You still have that problem. You still live with that problem every day of your life, and every day is, you know, the fight or flight kind of thing. It's like with alcoholism. Every day is, you know, you're still an alcoholic for the rest of your life. It's just you're a recovering alcoholic. And he had a bad day and lapsed really badly. That's, you know, it's sad.
How was Paige handling it, though?
I didn't see the second video because that was the one with Paige. Okay. But, you know, if I don't want to be, you know, hating on what Paige is doing, because he's doing a yeoman's task. It really is. But mm-hmm. to have expected that everything was going to go smoothly and that, you know, everybody was going to go along like we all live in the yellow submarine would have been foolish. This is one of those inevitable bumps in the road. Hopefully, Jake gets his stuff together. And the thing I fear for even more, no disrespect to Jake, is does this rub off on Scott Hall?
I don't think so.
I mean, it looks like Scott has gotten himself pretty well together the last, you know, couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he's working on a cooking project, I believe. I know that Capaeme did some artwork for a cooking YouTube thing that Scott Hall is going to be doing in conjunction with DDP Yoga. So it looks like he's riding the ship a bit, and that's a good thing. But, I mean, I look at it from the aspect, these are two people who are essentially under the same roof. It's like a bad reality show, but it truly is real life. And if one person sees the other relapse, it could trigger them. That's the fear I have.
We'll see. I guess it's just that I haven't followed it as closely. And I thankfully have not had to deal with that in my family. I have been told that I would have a predilection to addictions, thus my personal choice of straight edge. If I'm addicted to anything, it is wrestling, caffeine, and ponies.
Two of those I can justify. The other one... Why caffeine? Oh, see what I did there. Yes.
Okay.
Jim, I can't justify it either.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you know. Shut up, Gene, in the chat.
What? Give me
That's
a second.
That's what I said. What?
Say, what okay. if you sleep with your sister? Anyway,
Okay. as you were, I apologize.
No. You're fine. Like I said, I've been told that I could have an addictive personality, so I have adopted straight edge.
It makes two of us, actually.
And I just require caffeine to keep me motivated in the early mornings because I am not a morning person. The concept of me being awake and able and doing anything at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning meant I didn't sleep. Oh, and as for the third thing,
pony.
So.
Yeah, but he was talking about how it's the never-ending cycle. It just reminded me of the that cheating death, stealing life Eddie Guerrero DVD when he was talking about that on the DVD. Every day was a fight to stay clean for him.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, it didn't turn out well for him, but
no,
at least he tried.
No, he tried, and he was getting somewhere. Mentally, it was good. Physically,
it was just
is what took him.
Yeah.
So, but we've still got our fingers crossed for Jake. Because I still think he can do it. Now I touch on the indies. So I learned something this week that the Briscoe brothers, longtime tag team of Ring of Honor, are a pair of day one guys who recently wrapped up their business with Ring of Honor. This apparently was a planned exit for the gentleman. However, Chris, there's no real conversation about them going north.
From what I've heard, nowadays the Briscoes aren't in the same physical shape and stuff that they have. I've not watched anything of Ring of Honor yet, and most of my experience with the Ring of Honor talents is from when they get called up, so haven't seen any of the Briscoes actual matches yet. Mm-hmm. From what I've heard, physically in their conditioning, they are not in the physical condition that they would want them to be if they were ever to be called up to WWE. That and the fact that the whole PR nightmare we had a few weeks back with the one Briscoe saying all the comments that he did, and he had to apologize, and they made him work with all his money going to that one fund, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. So, the good news with it, VRM, is that it was an amicable split, for lack of a better term.
You're asking me questions about Ring of Honor. Especially
Sorry.
Questions about the time that I just walked away for a second.
Sorry. I've had the pleasure of seeing the Briscoes perform live. And, Chris, it's interesting that you mentioned their physical conditioning. I'll tell you my story. A former panelist, a gal that came on a few of our shows, Fire, she and her husband and I attended a Ring of Honor show, where one of the Briscoes got split open bad.
Ew.
We were worried about him afterwards. Now, this particular show, this was kind of messed up. The facility we were in, they had a concession stand, but they didn't set it up for anything. So most people were in line hitting up the only soda machine in the building. So we hadn't had anything to eat and drink for, 2-3 hours. We went across the street to a local hospital, hoping to get into the waiting area and try to use their vending machines, which they would not permit us. On our way out, we saw the Briscoe walking in with a towel over his head, trying to stop the bleeding.
Ugh.
We gave him well wishes because stitches and staples suck.
Yeah.
And then went to go find the car, to go find a gas station to go buy something to drink. Mm-hmm. But it's, there is no conversation that these guys are heading north. There's no conversation that they're retiring either. So, things are up in the air, and that'll keep everybody curious. If it wasn't already planned for, I would think that the two of them would have rage quit after Ring of Honor's last internet pay-per-view was just completely foobar.
Yeah. I was going to say, that is kind of That always does suck whenever the iPay-per-view stream doesn't go over so well, just because it really does affect kind of the fan base. I wouldn't say that much, but just that they're trying to contribute to the company and just to have this stuff happen.
So, you know, I understood that there was a lot of technical difficulties, that things just went completely to shit. I did not watch the internet pay-per-view. But Ring of Honor threw up their hands and they are rage quitting the iPay-per-view concept. Their last show just was a complete and utter mess. So there we go. They're going to try to do video on demand instead, which is probably a safer bet and might actually make them a little more money. So we'll see what happens. One last thing before I call it a night. I know I've got some longtime watchers here on the show. Even you guys in the chat room, do you remember one of WWE's signature intro openings where they talked about how they had been in business for over 50 years?
Yes.
Okay. Well, apparently somebody doesn't know how to count. Because WWE has what they're calling a 50th anniversary book in the works. Probably there's no release date. I'm guessing late 2013, early 2014.
Can I interrupt right now?
Sure.
Having the... It is not the anniversary if the numbers in the year match.
Shall I give you room to rant, sir?
I can sum this up in one simple sentence.
Okay.
WrestleMania 25. It was not the 25th anniversary of WrestleMania. It was WrestleMania 25, the 25th annual WrestleMania.
This is why I'm kind of giggling about this 50th anniversary book, because I've heard that signature for over 50 years. Which means this book should actually be coming up on the 75th anniversary, I would think.
I was going to say, it feels like one of those they're tripped up by their own semantics, because while I think they were probably trying to refer to Vince's father and his grandfather being involved in the wrestling business, they certainly made it seem like WWE, the company, was over 50 years old.
Yeah, actually, the original company was actually founded in 52, so this would be its 70th, right? Am I counting? No, I'm screwing up. 60th. I can't do math.
Given the hour that we're doing this, nobody can do math. Don't worry about it.
True.
Actually, this is interesting. If Wikipedia, if I may. If Wikipedia is to be believed, and that's, you know, a big thing, the Worldwide Wrestling Federation was formed in early 1963, which again goes back to the concept of 50 years, and they advertised that during the mid to late 90s for over 50 years, yet maybe they mean via the anniversary of the creation of the Worldwide Wrestling Federation in 63, question mark? It's just like... Give us revisionist history is the best history, you know.
it's curious. Although, I when I was told about this, we can sum up the reason that they're actually putting together this book in two words. Bruno Sammartino.
Yes.
Actually, I got three words to repeat for the reasons why they're creating this book.
Okay.
Millions of dollars, millions of dollars, millions of dollars, millions of dollars, billions of dollars, billions of dollars, billions of billions of dollars of dollars.
Pony.
I think Jim just threw his bike down in anger.
I think that was a spurrier level headset toss. I'm proud.
I'm gonna say I'm hoping that we don't have to talk about one more rage quit.
No, Jim rage quits, but he'll come back.
He always comes back.
Eventually. So the book, while the while they're going to do a lot of revising, it's. I think the fact that they have Sammartino on board, he will probably be a very integral part of the project. And I actually look forward to seeing this book, just to see how much of it is going to make the old school fans facepalm.
Do they have a release date on that book yet?
I don't have one, but I'm presuming late 2013, early 2014.
Okay, so that's going to be two books. I'm going to have to get it by the end of the year then.
What's the other one you're looking at?
Transformers, The Covenant of Primus.
Ah, yes.
Yes, that's an awesome book. After the show, you guys need to look that up.
So, I think that's enough news for one show. So before I call it a show. VRM, do you have something to promote?
Yes, although I wish it was, for once, I wish it wasn't something to promote. The WrestleCraft Sports Digest wrapped up Season 5 this week, although it wasn't in the way we were expecting, obviously, because we have the continuing saga of Mr. Aaron Hernandez, and it is just getting piled on. A bit of new information came out today, but we're not going to cover that. It's just getting worse and worse for him. We had an entire half hour of the show just devoted just to that topic. Also, as we've already heard, we had a cup get handed out this week.
Why? Yes, we did.
The cup handed out, a couple of trades in the NBA, and what the hell is happening in London?
Oh, yes. I will not spoil. Forth, do you have anything to promote?
Just Typho Show, which the 5th anniversary broadcast, I believe, is this Tuesday, and I am hoping that it is the last anniversary broadcast that we're on the other place.
Typho, here's a hint. Please do a goodbye other place show like we did.
And like we did.
So, Chris, what would you like to promote?
I would like to promote my site, which I was hoping that I wouldn't be on the show again until after I updated it, but things happen. So it's Waters Falls Industries, where I review cartoon stuff through the show Watercolors and wrestling stuff through the show The Washout. And in Christmas season, I redo Episodic Christmas. It is http://mrcmwaters.blogspot.com.
I myself do not have anything to promote. Actually, yes, I do. As part of the CLW83 network, there's so many ways to actually listen to our show. You can always go to clw83.com and have it playing in the background while you're surfing any of your other favorite websites, including WrestleChat.net, which is your best source for any and all wrestling news. If you are an on-the-go kind of person, feel free to pick up our shows through the Stitcher app, through iTunes, or through player.fm. And yes, I understand it works now. So you will never be without CLW 83 Network, and I would hope that your week would not be complete without an episode of the North American Wrestling Connection. So, for VRM, for Chris Waters, for our typical fourth, a thank you to Jim Williams and Jason Block for assisting on what is another fine podcast now in the can. This has been the North American Wrestling Connection. We hope you've enjoyed what you've heard tonight. Good night.
JWC Media.